Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable cars and coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast, Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Welcome to the Pebble Beach Spike's Car Radio episode. For those of you listening at home, we have a live audience here that is currently moving forward because they wouldn't let them sit close to us. We have a terrific show for you. The folks here are going to be part of that show. Do you want to say hi, everybody? And they are here representing Spike's Car Radio Nation. Let's get right down to it. My first guest is a comedian and a car guy from New York City. Please welcome Jerry Seinfeld.
What a moment, what a feeling, what a room. Please do your cameras, do them.
Yes, look at them all.
Enjoy the dumbness of your excitement.
Wow.
As if anyone would need to see this. Maybe you'll get a text back that says, wow. Annoy someone with this picture. That's your job today. This is Spike's Car Radio. That's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing.
This is our favorite show. This is my favorite show to do. Spike invented this show.
With you.
Well, 4 years, 6 years ago?
Yeah, 7 or 8 years ago, we did it privately on Bill's porch.
Yes, and we realized there was a whole world of car, idiosyncratic, meaningless, it's just kind of a lifestyle, psychological issues, and basic automotive information that we love to talk about that nobody else really talked about.
No, except for these people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we had no place to go with it.
Yeah.
Which is why we created the show.
And we never do it in front of people because we don't like to imagine anyone really listening. It's kind of a private conversation.
That's right.
That's the genius of the podcast, which I didn't understand for many years.
Yeah.
But now I do, and I love doing the show. I just do it for the pure fun of it.
It doesn't feel like a podcast right now, does it?
Sure it does. We're not entertaining anyone.
Well, let's get right into the car thing. You landed last night, right?
Yes.
So you're doing a stand-up tour in California right now?
Yes. Where were you last night? I did a show last night, and I have one tonight, and I just swooped in here for this, and then I'm out.
And what did you feel this morning over breakfast? You were talking about the car thing that was happening here.
Yeah, I really, you know, I've been in a few cults. I'm still in a couple of them. You're the person that explained to me that living in Manhattan is a cult existence, and it is. If you live in Manhattan, you think that's the only place in the world that matters.
Right.
It's a sick mental frame that you get into. If you're a fan of a sports team, that's a cult that you're in. And, you know, I don't really do events. I don't really like to circulate with people. I don't like anything that's organized or planned or exactly what we're doing here. This is not what I like to do. I like to just go about my business quietly with my friends and just talk about cars. But being in this environment and just being here in this room with you, and that we all kind of have the same, whatever this mental mechanism is, that the automobile somehow connects us to the world in a way that we value. We really value it. It's not that we just enjoy it. I mean, I guarantee it's the same for all of you. There's a part of every single day of your life that's car-related. Either you look at something, you read something, you drive something. But the car thing is on your mind. There are times when I really feel not quite right, and I realize I haven't gone for a drive in a couple of days.
That's right. That's
and
right.
I don't feel right. And then you go, and something kind of evens out in the chemistry of the blood, and you feel better. And that's a car person. So being here and being around all of this, I forgot how much I like it. It is really fun to be around this insanity. I mean, this is completely insane. Everyone just, the cars that you see them on the road, and I'm so happy I'm here.
Well, we're nice. We're so happy you came. You impart so much car wisdom on people. You really understand this in a, like a philosopher.
Yeah.
And this morning we were talking about squirrel and nut theory.
Yes.
The nut and the squirrel and how important that theory is to the selling of cars and the buying of cars.
Well, you go into these auctions, I assume you attend some of these auctions, and if you've ever been in a park and seen a bunch of squirrels working, it's a similar kind of energy. You know, it's frantic, it's darty eyes, it's, I need that, I have that, whose nut is that, can I get that nut? And then they grab the nut, and then they run with it, and then they bury it, and then they can't remember where they put it. And that's how trees are grown. That is actually true. But that's what happens to car. When you walk into these tents, you know, where they have all the cars, you get a little jacked, right? You just, something happens. You go, what? Even if you're not going to be bidding on anything,
yeah.
The environment gets you a little, let's call it fun frantic, you know.
Fizzy. The tent
you're
is
fizzy,
really,
yeah.
You hit it on something. The tent is very important to selling some of these cars.
Yeah, the tent.
I saw last night at Gooding a Porsche 935 in a tent.
Yes.
That I swear was yours.
That is mine.
That is yours.
My 935.
What's happening there? Are you selling
them? We're moving along in the psychosis. What I love about Spike Show is we really discuss the psychological underpinnings of a lot of things we do. Why would you need more than one car? Why would you want more than one car? Why would you sell a car that you like? And they're interesting things. I'm just getting to a place now where I want to drive the cars I love more than I do. And I realize I have to get rid of the ones that I like, but I don't really drive.
So you're curating.
I'm curating. I'm focusing down.
There's, you know, it's been said there are three stages in life. The dreaming of stuff, the acquiring of stuff, and then the getting rid of stuff.
Right.
Are you telling us you're in the getting rid of stuff stage or...
Well,
winnowing
like
down.
We breathe in and out.
Right.
We, you know, we inhale and then we exhale. So I'm exhaling now, but I know there'll be more.
Yeah.
But that's a car that I love. It's beautiful. It's spectacular. But I can't get to the track as much as I always think
right,
that I'm going
right,
to. That's
right,
the problem
right.
with it.
You know, it was funny because you called me a couple weeks ago and said, you know, it was the day the 911 ST was announced.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, why did I buy this GT3 RS? I'm so stupid. And I said, we don't know when it's coming out. It's a great car. And you go, you know, it was just a mistake. Today, how do you feel about that car?
I'm in completely lovesick puppy for my GT3 RS.
Explain that to us. What is that love-hate relationship we have with cars?
This is a theory I have expounded on many times on the show. There are four elements to your drive. The day, the car, the road, your mood. If one of those is off, you come home and it wasn't the experience you wanted it to be. The car doesn't work right, it's not the right road, it's not the right day for that car, or you're not in the right mood for that car. So those are the things I try and get right, and then I enjoy the drive. So I took the GT3 RS, I picked it up at the dealer, and I just drove it home at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in New York City. Bad day, bad road, bad car for that situation.
Right.
And I wasn't in the right mood. When you go to the dealer, that's not a driving day. You know what I mean? It's uncomfortable. The salespeople make you feel badly. You know they've ripped you off somehow. You don't know how. And so it was all off. And then the other day, I see, in New York City, if you want to go for a drive, you got to get going by 2 p.m. the latest, or you're screwed. So I got the car out at 2 p.m., mm-hmm. and there was no traffic, and I went up into Westchester, and I found a Route 22, which is a beautiful curving road up in Westchester. And I start, now obviously we don't drive these cars anything like they're designed to be driven, but if you really have your car's sensors tuned, which hopefully you do at this point in your life, you appreciate what went into building that car and engineering it to do what it could do, even though you can't do it. And I'm on this road, and I'm doing things with this car, and just, you know, it's just steering it around corners, and it's different. It's like, oh, it's responding differently to any other car I've ever driven. Of course, because this is their, to me, the GT3 RS is always their finest instrument of surgery. It's not the blunt instrument. It's the finest, most balanced, most delicate, I'll say.
And did you figure out how to use these things?
Yeah, I figured out how to use these things.
What are these for? All these adjustments on the steering wheel.
They just spin them. Just spin them all and and then mash on the gas and see what happens.
That's a good theory. It is one of our rules. We have all these rules that we talk about that we make, and it's really just experience buying and selling cars. But one of the rules we have is you never buy a car and then immediately pick it up on a long road trip and drive it. And you did that recently with a very special car. First, tell everybody the car.
I'm the lucky owner of the 996. Classic Club Coupe that Grant Larson built, and where they went back to the 996 from 1999 mm-hmm. and decided, what if we had the money and the time and the engineering wherewithal to really get this car right?
Yes.
Which I think most Porsche people would feel the 996, when it first came out, wasn't quite right.
By the way, this is the place where you applaud for cars like that. So you go, yes, the 996. I was married this week, yes.
Yeah.
The new GT3, yes, yes.
I didn't like that car. And then you look back on it now, and because I think cars have gotten bigger, I look back on it and went, you know what? That thing does have kind of an interesting smoothness to the design. The wheels were wrong. Mm-hmm. If the wheel's wrong, forget it.
But what happened? You broke
the wheel. I got in the car.
And you were going to drive it back to Santa Monica.
And I drove it from Palm Springs to L.A.
Was it good? Did it work?
No. It had a little electronic glitch where the seatbelt chime was beeping the entire time. But I didn't let it ruin me because I knew somebody's going to get a laptop top and go like that, and it's going to be fine.
But you had Sam with you.
I had Sam Cabillo, my car guru, with me, and we just had the time of our lives. It's such a cool thing.
He couldn't fix it.
We couldn't fix it, no.
So what happens to the car now?
We're going to crush it.
Wow, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go. Right. That's good. We're crushing cars, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, you're part of the show. What else do we have, Jerry? I want to know. I have some questions. There are things I want to know.
Okay.
So, you've been collecting longer than anybody I know. I mean, I think when I started on the show in 95,
I just started.
With your 89 911, you moved into a 73 RS, 911 RS,
yep.
Tangerine that Zuckerman owned.
My first speedster around that time.
You've seen a lot as far as patterns of ownership,
mm-hmm.
financial or just joy. What wisdom have you learned as far as collecting when you're just at the beginning of this? Like, what would you recommend a buyer be thinking about?
I would recommend don't be afraid to make mistakes. Don't be afraid to make an impulse buy that you think you might be wrong, because sometimes you're right. You can't get it 100% right, is what I would advise anyone buying cars. You're going to have hits and misses. And if you have a miss, that's fine, and you can sell it, and you can lose money, and who cares? It's not my money. I don't care if you lose money.
Yeah.
But it's a good way to lose money because you're pursuing, in my opinion, you're pursuing a childlike joy all the time. There was that thing when we were kids when you would lock onto a toy. This is the way I was. I would lock onto a toy, the trick track,
right.
The Super Bowl, something that I would think, that's it. That's going to be a great thing to play with. And sometimes it was. Most of the times it wasn't. But I feel there's a great joy in the pursuit and the acquisition and the inspection and the analysis. All of that is part of the fun of it. So don't consider it a total loss if you buy something and a year later you realize, you know what, it wasn't what I thought it was. I'm not having a good time with it. I'm going to sell it. That's what this place is for. Every car that's for sale, somebody screwed up. But guess what? That's true of all real estate. Do you ever walk into a house when you're looking for real estate? You walk into the house and you can see they've put all this time and money into it. And they hated it. They want out. And you're trying to get in. This is the endless cycle of life with the squirrels and nuts.
I want to talk about the Concours. In 2009, you entered your 9083 in the Concours. And you came in second place. Have you gotten over it yet?
No.
Have you been back since?
No.
Why?
I have been invited to, you know, my 59 356 GS. Mm-hmm. I have a four-cam 1959 coupe with 13,000 original miles, all original.
Yes, there we go.
Yeah. I really consider it the pinnacle of my entire career to find a 59 four-cam. I didn't find it. The guy was about to expire. He called Jay Leno trying to reach me. I flew to Michigan, and I met the guy. He was in a wheelchair. And it was a great moment. He didn't want it to come into the auction world and become a football for brokers. And he wanted it to go to someone that would really love it. So they've invited me to bring it for the preservation class.
Wow.
But I don't like competing. I don't understand a lot of, you know, Americans love competing, the Emmys, the Oscars. It's all stupid. But I do like people seeing. People should see this car. It is a wild thing that a 59 four-cam still exists. In original condition.
Tell them about the keychain that came with it.
The keychain is just a piece of metal and a ring, and someone took a nail and wrote Porsche in the metal, misspelled. and I love that. By the way, speaking of, I also happen to be the very lucky owner of 550-03, and the very first four-cam Spider ever built. And the VIN tag that is bolted into the bulkhead of that car, Porsche, is also misspelled on that.
Really?
Yeah, which I think is the coolest thing. That's how new the company was. People didn't even know how to spell it. Mm-hmm. Who are these guys?
Did you ever think about designing a car yourself?
No.
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 Are there any car companies you think that are named wrong?
Like when most of them.
Most of them.
Yeah,
when you think of Koenigsegg.
Koenigsegg, don't put food in your name, okay? I like eggs, you like eggs. You know, there are certain names, you know. Cary Grant, he was named Archibald MacLeish. He knew, I got to fix that. Just change it. It's show business. Give us something that we can hook onto and like.
Pagani?
Pagani I like. I would order that if I saw it on a menu in an Italian restaurant.
How's your summer been? Oh, here's what I want to ask.
Okay.
I've always wanted to know. Every summer you seem, you know, you have all these different car spots, and you like to do a lot of driving out in Long Island, right, where you live.
Yes.
Well, sorry. Jesus. Well, how do you make the Long Island car choice? Like, when do you do that? Like, maybe around March or April?
March or April, I just try and figure out. And that's a long, carefully thought out process.
Yeah, yeah.
What am I going to drive all summer?
And what is it? What are the variables? The family?
No.
No.
That is not a variable.
No.
That I consider.
The weather? The newness of the car? Like,
you know what's really fun? In Eastern Long Island, the roads are narrow. They're windy. You can't go much above 50 or 60. So you don't want something that has a lot of power. Mm-hmm. Like, I brought a lightweight 960 964 turbo Leichtbau one summer. It was terrible. That's a high-end performance. You need big, fast rows for that. 356s are great. 912s are great. Early 911s are great. Things that are challenging to drive between 50 and 70.
Is there a vibrant Porsche scene out there?
I wouldn't call it vibrant. You see old 911s. You see 356s. I drive a VW bus around there a lot. People get a big kick out of that. Get a lot of thumbs up with that.
Are you precious about your cars out there? I mean, in New York City, do you park an old car? I think someone once sent me a picture of the first 911 parked on the street on the upper side.
I often think about that day. The last air-cooled 911, you mean? Or the first
one? No, the very first 911.
Really? I did that too.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you try and be... you want to relax with your cars, you know? You want to enjoy them. You don't enjoy them if you're nervous and worried that it's going to get scratched. But you and I have both had the nightmare. I have one of the first cars I ever bought was a 59 GT Speedster with 8,000 original miles. And I'm going to tell you what I paid for it. This was 1995 out of Hemmings. And I was just looking, all original 59 GT Speedster, a four-cam Speedster with 8,000 miles on it. $300,000.
Wow.
That was 1995. And I thought, that seems cheap for what that is. They only made 20 of them in 59. This is how I really did well in the car thing. Because I thought, am I crazy? Or that's a good deal for something like that's only 20 and it's 8,000 miles, it's original. And I was sitting in that car on the Colorado Grand, you know this story, sitting at a light at 12 noon. I don't remember the town it was in Colorado. You know the Colorado Grand where you do 1,000 miles? And sitting at a light and a pickup truck, there's a lady behind me. She's sitting behind me. She just steps on the gas and bam, right into the back of that aluminum bodywork. And you get out. I got out of the car, and I pulled open her door. I hope she's listening, by the way. I would love to get in contact with this woman one more time. I open the door. It's 12 noon, and the stench of alcohol poured out of this pickup truck. And she goes, I go, what's wrong with you? And she goes, my foot slipped off the brake. What's the big deal? So that's as bad as it could be, right? You can't really make it much worse. You're not even moving. And someone in a pickup truck just plows into your one-of-one Porsche from 1959. But you know what? We banged it out, and we repainted the back end, and I'm still driving it, and life goes on. So once it's kind of good when you have these horrible... Remember the lady that... backed into my 73 RSR in East Hampton.
Yes, yeah, I read about your response in the New York Post.
Yes, I called her an idiot.
And I called you and I said, I can't believe you got away with that.
Yeah, I did. She said, your car's too low. This is a 73 2.8 RSR sitting on the curb and she just backs right into it with a rented BMW.
It happens to all of us.
Yeah.
I had the 70S.
You're
all original chalk marks. I get hit on the 405.
So once you go through that, you're kind of free after that.
Yeah, a little.
Yeah, a little.
It still hurts.
You know.
There's a 24-hour period where you have to process.
Yeah.
Yes. But unlike a death, you get over it in 24 hours, and then you fix it.
Yeah. I get over death faster than denting some of these cars. I've had three of those different ones that the Speedster story is. They're all the same. People just drive into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. Last week, Bring a Trailer. By the way, you still on Bring a Trailer a lot?
Yeah, I love Bring a Trailer.
Yeah. Do you ever buy stuff off of there? Do you ever sell stuff there?
Yeah. Yeah, I buy and sell a lot of Fiats and VWs on there. I don't think I've ever sold a Porsche on there.
Are you still passionate about Fiats right now?
Well, that's how I started.
Right.
You know, I started by... my first car was a 73 Fiat 128 Sport, which I have two of them now, and I'm sure they're the only two original ones in the world. That car was 2,600 brand new. It was my first car, and it's still a great car. It's a really well-engineered car. I love 128s.
Last week they had a contest seeking out best automotive proverbs. I think the winner was, it's more fun to drive a slow car fast than a fast car slow. What are your favorite automotive sayings?
I could tell you what I hate.
Yeah.
Goes like stink. on steroids.
So this is like automotive writing.
Or talking. Videos. This one goes to 11, you know, from Spinal Tap. Just please stop. Stop. And, you know, as I hate water cooled. Can you drink it? No, it's not water. It's liquid cooled. It's not water cooled.
Are you wearing a Sheffield right now?
Watch. Yes.
I cannot believe
Thanks
that.
Thanks to you. This is a Sheffield All-Sport watch. Wow. This was my first watch. Somebody bought the brand. What's the guy's name?
I don't remember his name.
And he's remaking these watches. My first watch was a Sheffield underwater watch. It was $12 in 1966, and I had one. And now they're making them again, and they just adjusted it for inflation. It's $108.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Before you go, I just wanted to ask you about your summer.
I've had a pretty wild summer.
Yeah, it looked like it.
Yeah.
Every time I looked at the Daily Mail, you had no shirt on, and you were dancing around in the water.
Yeah.
Did I see you?
Thank you very much.
Did I see you on a boat with Larry David?
I was with Larry David. I've been with...
But wait.
I don't want to drop names. Paul McCartney.
Okay, go ahead.
David Geffen. I hate people that just say names of celebrities.
Is that comfortable, Schumann? Hanging out when you're at a table?
No.
With...
No, it's not.
It's not.
No, what was fun is Larry and I both hated it so much.
Yeah, how did you get him on a boat?
Our wives colluded.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And pretended that it was the other one's idea. But Larry and I had not hung out in a long time, and we got together, and we were laughing and laughing. And honestly, it's like over 20 years that since Larry and I just spent, you know, a big chunk of time together. And we were together, and it was like, oh... That's how we did that show. We have a thing that nobody else has. And it was really exciting. It was like going back to, a relationship that created a world that's still around. You know, people talk to me about the show because I always take questions from audiences. And they talk to me about the show like it's still on.
It is.
I mean,
Netflix right now.
To me, it's like my high school yearbook, you know. But it's, you know, we live in this world where it's the same in the car world. The dates have been removed. Only the quality is recognized. As we were driving over here, we saw a Ferrari TDF.
Yeah.
Was that like a 59 or a 60?
Yeah.
And we all screamed.
And a 250 short wheelbase in front of it.
Yeah.
Just driving.
So... Who cares when they made it? It doesn't matter when they made it. It's how good it was. That's how we live now. It's very interesting. We've removed the time frame from... We've separated it from quality. It's irrespective. It's non-correlated to quality. I don't care when they made that. That is one of the greatest things ever made. And it's an interesting time that we live in.
It is.
That way. Used to be something's old, it's over. Now we don't really care when it was made. Cars, entertainment, it's how good was it? And it's a lot of times not recognized in its time. That's what this event is about. It's about, let's take the year off of everything, which is the best of these. And that's what the prices are. You know, the higher the price, the better that was. It doesn't matter when it was.
Jerry Seinfeld, ladies and gentlemen. Jerry, thanks for coming.
Thank you, buddy. Talk to you soon.
The Pebble Beach Show is sponsored by AG1, the daily foundational nutritional supplement that supports whole body health. I drink it every day. My wife is now drinking it. We all drink it. We want that boost in energy, that immune support system. We don't like taking vitamins. You just mix in the powder with water and drink it once a day. Who doesn't like that? And it actually tastes great. I drink it in the morning right before my coffee and before I get into the Equinox gym to work out, or at least look like I'm working out. I'm giving my body the nutrition it craves. Like, I'm covering my nutritional bases. AG1 replaces your multivitamin probiotic more in one simple drinkable habit. Science-driven formulation of vitamins, probiotics, and whole food-sourced nutrients, AG1 helps you build your health foundation. First, all great athletes like Johnny Lieberman have one thing in common. They take care of their bodies, and a lot of them drink AG1, which is why I'm a huge fan. You should be a huge fan, too. If the comprehensive solution is what you need from your supplement routine, then try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. I had them up here in Monterey. Go to drinkag1.com/spike911. That's drinkag1.com/spike911 and check it out. All right, back to the show.
But there's more show. Unfortunately for you, I've got Paul Zuckerman, Matt Farah, and Johnny Lieberman. The SCR crew. Gentlemen. Hello. We're dancing. Does everybody have a mic?
Thank you.
Matt, sit closer. Come over here. Come over here. These are the real experts. Well, not Zuckerman. He's the life expert, but the other guys are the real car experts here. And I want to talk about Monterey Car Week, because you guys have all done very impressive things. Johnny, I saw you leading. What were you leading for Mercedes? The actual drive of the Pebble Beach Concours?
The Tour d'Elegance.
And you were the least elegant person of our crew.
You've been waiting for that for 3 days.
No, I just thought of it. But
and he was driving an electric SUV. It was really
a Maybach.
Anti-climax.
Still, it's well, kind of, don't you consider that kind of an honor? I was proud of you when I saw it. I thought that was really cool.
I was supposed to be a passenger in a 1928 W06 Mercedes.
Right.
Sit next to Jochen Moss, be a lot of fun, and then Michael Minnelli, the PR guy, he goes, "Hey, do you want to go in the Maybach?" And I was like, "Not yet." And he goes, no, like drive it." And I go, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, you can lead the tour."
Wow. So, what is the directive? You will drive at 50 miles an hour.
There's the world's angriest motorcycle cop, like so agitated, who also was doing Pilates while we were driving, like constantly stretching, who led us at 39 miles an hour down to Big Sur and back.
Always heard like the older cars break down on that, where they're and they're not, and then they get judged if they broke down, right?
Well, no, what it is if you don't go on the tour,
you don't complete
if there's a tie on Sunday, then the tiebreaker is you went on the tour. So everyone tries to go. This year, I only saw one car on the side of the road.
Saw two. Saw one ran out of gas.
Yeah, it doesn't count. Yeah,
Does it not count? I don't know.
They don't care.
Ran ahead, folks. I saw.
Wouldn't that be the first thing you do is put gas in your car?
One would think.
Well, the gas gauge on the 29 Bentley is, you know.
What car was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Something old. I don't
know. You drove up. You were leading a pack of McLaren drivers, which seems like a dangerous job from L.A. to here.
Oh, yeah.
Did they behave?
I am particularly talented at deflating the egos of very rich people. And
that's why I'm on this show.
I stood in front of a room of billionaires and people that can afford, you know, $1 million cars and McLaren's executive staff and their CEO.
Right.
And I said, that guy is incredibly irresponsible for selling these cars to you. None of you have any idea what you're doing except you pointing at Bruno Senna. I said, you can do whatever you want. Everybody else, listen up. And people actually did behave. I think it worked.
And no speeding tickets, and it was fun.
No.
Does the drive like that get boring at any point, like 4 hours in? Would you do that?
No way.
I mean, why?
4 hours in with a pack of people?
Right.
Staying in line, staying in one spot.
Yeah, behaving. Your back starts to hurt, right?
No, never.
We're not doing it.
Would I pay $35,000 to do that as a vacation? No. Will I take money to do that as the same exact thing, but being in the front of the group? Yes.
Same answer.
100%.
There you go.
And Zuckerman to learn what a 720 does in a hurricane on the way home tomorrow.
So, you're going to drive back?
Hell yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Unless
but
you guys
by yourself
wanna...
or with everybody?
No, by myself.
Oh, that's good.
We'll say that'll goodbye be... now.
Yeah.
Nice knowing you. Zuckerman,
yeah.
You had three cars at auction, right, at Gooding. How did we do?
Well, we know one. We had one yesterday, a 59 220S Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, that's
a beautiful car. And I lost on it. I put it up, no reserve, and it went for $87,000. Oh. And, yeah, oof, painful. Right? Really bad.
You were in a bad mood when I was picking you up at the hotel. And I'm like, what's wrong? And I lost a little money on the car. And I was like, but in business, I was listening to your calls on the plane. You were making a lot of money one day. Way more than these losses.
Why
is this small loss affecting you?
It affects the ego because I bought it, I love the car, and I wanted to be validated by the other purchasers giving me more than I paid for it, not less, not telling me that I had made a bad purchase.
But what do we think? Panel, anybody, do we think the market's a little soft this year?
The results have not been good for seller. For,
like what?
It's a buyer's market. Mm-hmm. It is. I ran into a few people at the works reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday morning, which is a lovely event and only costs like $40 to get in as a spectator.
Yeah, good crew.
That's a rad, great, you know,
always
people great. Are always asking me, like, I can't afford a $2,000 ticket to the Quail. Like, what do I do? And $40 to get into Works Reunion, no reservation, cash, great, great event, great cars, great people. But a couple people were like, dude, you won't believe what I bought last night.
Zuckerman's Mercedes.
Mercedes.
It was nothing.
$87,000.
I bought it for gum money.
I take the money.
A roll of coins.
Give it.
No, I mean, people bought, late model, early 2000s supercars
for
shockingly low prices.
We've been in a cycle like that over and over again.
Yeah.
It is one of the axioms of car collecting that I've learned, which is if you love your car, you'll drive it more when the value goes down because you don't worry about it as much. And when it goes up, you're happy you have it too. So that's really how important that single choice is. What else did we see sell? I mean, let's talk about Quail for a second, because that is quite a whiff of erudite air that you sniff, and it's starting to feel like people hate you for going to it and enjoying it. We're there because we're covered by media, right?
One of my clients at the shop bought a pair of tickets on StubHub to Quail.
The ticket cost?
$1,600 each.
And then
$500 for a parking pass.
It's hard to justify. It's a great event, but that's hard to justify.
Yeah. We all hung out with Jim Farley from Ford. He was a great guy, and I enjoyed seeing that car. Let's just talk about that for a second. The Ford, what is it?
The Mustang GTD. Yeah, so
GTD.
Ford's...
And what is that? That's just the class of
racing? That's the class in IMSA, yeah. So it's a street-legal race car built by Multimatic out of a Ford. It's $300,000. They're going to make 2,000 of them.
Oh, you got that number? I didn't get the number.
Yeah, a few thousand.
Yeah, about 2,000.
It's limited by how fast Multimatic can build cars, which is not fast.
But it's another $300,000 American car.
Right.
Like the Cadillac. What's that weirdo Cadillac?
Celestic. It was parked in front of the Spanish Bay.
That doesn't look good.
Oh, I like it. It's got some presence.
It looks like a parade float.
Highly controversial.
I like it. It's got presence. It's orange.
But the Mustang is pretty. I mean, you know, when you have someone like Jim Farley, who is a pretty ace CEO, he saw the race car and he went, well, why does Porsche have cornered on homologation road-going versions of their race cars? We can do that, and it'll be expensive, and it'll be hard, but it's doable.
But this is even much more extreme than that.
I mean, oh, it
this is.
Like
exposed suspension inside the vehicle. Yeah, 20-inch front brakes.
So that's not right.
Oh, it's not.
So Jim, so Jim told
me. I said it to Jim, and he was like, 20 inches.
Right, so Jim literally told me this to my face, and I went, are you serious? And he went, yes, it is. And then I put it on Instagram as fact, because the CEO of the company told me, and several people were like, how is that possible? So I followed up with Ford PR, who said, Jim misspoke. It's 16-inch carbon ceramic front brakes. The wheels are 20-inch. So it's not, yeah.
Because I said, what size wheel does that fit on? He goes, I don't know.
Yeah, so that's... And now we understand the source of the miscommunication from Mr. Farley.
I would expect more from Chris Farley's cousin.
Yes.
I really would.
And I was really right.
Would. You were. And they are very... He's highly intelligent and a showman. And, you know, it's a really interesting quality of a guy.
Yeah.
My interview with him will be next week after this show you're listening to right now. Zuckerman, when you're walking around the Quail, what are you thinking?
I could slip and fall right now and take this whole place down.
Okay. I'm thinking, look how many rich MFers are here. Look how they dress. Look how they act. Now, I probably am one of these same rich MFers at this point, but I continue to view myself as an outsider, that I don't belong.
You don't belong there. None of us belong there.
Yeah.
Oh, no. We're not that crew.
Yeah, it's a very strange experience.
It was a bunch of cars that, you know, multi-million dollar hypercars and names I haven't heard of before. And everybody seemed to be selling 0 to 60s in 1.7 or, you know, in that neighborhood, right?
Yes. Like
that's the new 0 to 60 we have to hit.
Some of the conversations that I overheard between rich MFers and the representatives of the... And just standing around listening,
right?
You know, and going... You know, my wife, she really loves her Urus, and I'm thinking of getting her this next.
Yes,
and, you know, it's that 1,700 horsepower thing, and you look at the woman, and it's like, she should be in a Prius.
Yes.
This woman needs 100 horsepower. She does not need 1,700 horsepower.
I would say that for most of the men, too, that I met.
And then, you know, and then another guy is saying to his wife, about the Pagani, you know, $5 million, and he goes, I think we should order it with the matte finish, don't you? You know, and it's like,
did you guys see somebody set off the fire extinguisher in the Pagani?
Yeah, yeah.
I ran into Christopher and Horatio.
Who the hell is doing vandalism at that place?
I want to take off all the shift knobs, too, just in case.
No, Christopher was like, we don't know who did it. Yeah,
did you do it? Why are you laughing?
It's a prototype, and they had to have a fire suppression.
Right.
And somebody reached in and flipped it.
What else did we see that we liked? I like the Myers-Manx stuff. I like what Freeman Thomas is doing over there. That looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, the four-seater is pretty cool.
The four-seater is going to be a little slow neighborhood vehicle, right? Is that the idea?
So, it's a neighborhood electric vehicle. So, it's limited to 25 miles an hour. But I talked to, like, everybody, including Philip, who's like, well, you know, we can... Fix that.
Wink, wink. Right. The red
key.
That's
the whole electric industry right now.
Yeah.
We'll sell one motor and we'll show you what wire to cut. That's Surons and cakes and everything else.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Kind of cheated. But I still don't know how you explain that to the police officer when they stop you.
You're going 70.
Right? Yeah,
put a license plate on it. They won't know, you know.
Well, most of the stuff you can't. There are no lights. There are no switches or anything.
This one has lights.
What else did you see, Zuckerman, that caught your eye? Besides little dogs, which you seem to pet every little dog that went by.
I do enjoy those. There was some of the old Italian stuff. Some of the, there was a 1939 Lancia Aprilia that I thought was absolutely stunningly gorgeous. And the guy who was attending the car, I wouldn't even call him an owner. He was like the PA to the car. The car owns him. He was just constantly polishing the car, but it was so absolutely stunning. And of course, there were some Maseratis that were very beautiful. There was a beautiful display of 73 RSs. And then we really liked that Fiat Otovu.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the 50s the V8, the little V8 that they had.
Yeah.
That was a gorgeous car.
That Gooding Ferrari 275 in green
Stunning.
Was the one that knocked me out. That was my favorite car.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you a question before we do questions from these folks, just because it was a story in the news. It's perfect for you to comment on, Zuckerman. This week reported, you know Waymo and Cruise, these automatic self-driving cars without people in them, now people are having sex in them.
Predictably.
They're going from here to there. The San Francisco Standard spoke to numerous people who have claimed to have sex in the robo-taxis. The newspaper confirmed these rides happen through their receipts. Will there be lawsuits in some way?
Is there any exposure?
Well, there's plenty of exposure.
That's a very good use of phrase, Spike.
Yes. Has anyone in this audience taken a self-driving car? Did you have sex? Okay.
Not even with yourself, sir. I'm looking at you, and I mean, it's just a, sorry. I apologize.
It's a real leap of faith to get into these cars, I think. I don't know what, you know, the San Francisco City Council permits this. I don't know what they're thinking. There's so many problems there in the city, and then you're going to add self-driving cars.
What about why? What's wrong with humanity that they can't
Everything.
Just use the thing the way it's supposed to be used? That they have to go, you know, honey, we can save a couple bucks renting the motel by the hour by going to where we're going and having sex in the car.
What about the internet? Is that being used as it was supposed
to? Well, what happens when they, you know, there's a crack dealer in there too to help the experience? I mean, are these going to become the new motels? I mean, how do you police that? Because as I understand it, there are cameras in the cars facing in.
I think that's part of the appeal.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, 100%.
That's what people like. But in the very short period of time that they've been having this, one car collided with a fire truck in an intersection, and another one of these drove into wet cement.
Right.
So I don't really think, I'm not seeing the longevity here. I'm seeing that I'm going to make a lot of money. This is going to be very good for me, because if it's already running over wet cement and into fire trucks.
Oh, just wait.
Yeah, just wait. So
you're excited about it.
Next week, it's a Waymo crashed into a Mercedes 220S Cabriolet. Right. Rumor said it was worth $87,000.
Yeah, but I feel sorry for the people who get in after the people having sex.
What is that?
Well, I mean, hang on. You've been in a taxi cab in New York City. You've been in a car where somebody.
There's going to be a local news report. We bought a black light in. There was semen on the stick shift, semen on the steering wheel. We found semen in the trunk. It's going to be on the local. This is horrible. This is horrible. It's upsetting.
None of these people can be left unsupervised. That's the answer.
This crew, they gave them wine at 11:30.
Yes.
One quick, Johnny, you host, and I want to do Q&A right after this, but you host a show about electric vehicles. What, the Waymo, because they're in Santa Monica too, what level self-driving is that? Is that level 3?
That would be 5 if it's self, no steering wheel. Well, I think.
No, because there's a human backup remote, so it's 4.
Is that
the highest level? Is there
5 is the highest.
5 means no steering wheel, no human input. You just like say, take me to the Waldorf, and it scoots away.
There's a guy somewhere in a room with a headset.
There's a team
watching people have sex in cars.
Yes.
That's definitely
part of the appeal.
Yes. Yeah.
But what is he controlling? Let's just say
cars can be remotely driven.
But I think
if they get confused, if you know, you read stories about, for one reason or another, multiple AVs,
right?
You know, there's a traffic jam of AVs. They get stopped. They get confused by something. Someone puts a traffic cone in the wrong place. A human
can jump
in a remote area.
You press a button.
Can press a button and take over and drive the car. Yeah.
All right, we have a few minutes to take calls. I'd love to take a call. But questions, and we've got fellows with microphones out here. Go ahead, just to pick anybody with their hand up.
Dun, 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 dun.
We are happy to answer any questions you might have if we can. Keep your hands away from Zuckerman's mouth. Mm. Yes, sir.
Hey, guys, yesterday at the Quail, Tamarian Curated had a lot of really sexy stuff. Does he bring that from Florida and then take it back, or does he bring it to auction? So he shows it at the Quail, and then it goes to auction. I was just curious.
Yeah, we were hanging out with Jonathan last night at the fire pits, and the stuff that's going to be, it all comes from Florida. The stuff that's going to be auctioned is auctioned, but he's got two cars on the lawn tomorrow, a Miura SV and a Countach. They have a Lamborghini class, which he said, for the first time ever, there will be a Diablo on the lawn, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. And that it's a good Countach. It's our buddy's car, and it's the 82 Monaco Grand Prix pace car, which is rad.
Have you seen the estimates for the Wolf of Wall Street Countach yet, gentlemen?
Yeah, high. Yeah, I was with
somebody. You were wrong.
I was super wrong. Yeah.
Well, I was wrong too. Tamarian told me
I'm
$2
still
million.
Wrong as well because I was saying 4, 3, 4. Yeah. But I've seen estimates as high as 2.
Somebody told me 4. Somebody told me there's a bid for 4.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
But you saw the car.
I saw the car. Let's just say it's It is representative of what you would expect from a movie car.
Yeah. They're not best cars.
It's not great. I mean, it's real. It's a real Countach.
Still.
But it's pretty nasty.
It's a movie prop, and it's a great movie.
History.
It's an incredible scene.
Sure.
Next question. Somebody got one?
To answer his question, though, most of those cars are going to go on a truck back to Florida. Yeah, that was the question.
Just anybody who has their hand up, just hand them a mic quick if you can.
Hey, I was curious. Great to hear about your experience at the Quail, but you guys look more like you should be going to Lemons.
So, which,
yes, we've been.
My favorite event. So, anybody going?
Not
this year. But
We've all been.
Is it tomorrow?
Right. Today.
It's today.
Right now.
What's wonderful what I remember about it is people were drinking at 7:30 in the morning. That you walk in and everybody's drunk. Yeah, he says, sure. Yeah, there you go. Your liver's not doing that, sir. It's shaking. It's vibrating. But there's so many events to hit, and it really gets hard after a while. I noticed I just was getting conversational burnout. Johnny, you had worked for 12 straight hours yesterday.
Oh, dude.
And you were barely making sense by 7 o'clock at night.
It was a long day yesterday.
And we missed the Porsche party. Did you go, Matt?
My McLaren dinner went way long, and I couldn't go either.
I had
to be at three places at the same time last night.
Yeah.
Turns out not possible.
I'm sure they didn't.
You got to say yes to everything and then selectively flake your way through the weekend. That's the only way to do it. Yeah, of course. I'll be everywhere.
Are you guys going to stay for the event itself?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I am.
I think the Concours d'Elegance is still the best car show in the world. I know everyone likes supercars and the Quail, but like... The lawn on Sunday, it's the best cars in the world. And if it's there tomorrow, it can't come back for a decade. So it's always fresh. It's the coolest.
Yeah. So. Who's next? Who do we got in the back there?
Hey, since it appears that most people buying normal electric cars have about as much emotional investment as buying a vacuum cleaner or a laptop, do we see these things having much of a secondary market down the road, or just recycle this thing, get it out of here, lease in the next
which
one?
Which brand? Are you talking about Acura owners?
I mean, obviously Tesla is the most populous, but now with more coming on the market, are they going to suffer the same thing of just get rid of this thing and get me a new one?
What is he asking? Is Tesla going to be collectible? Let's restate.
No, not collectible. But, do they have a secondary market?
So, like, I don't like the question because, like, there's a lot of RAV4s and Corollas that are bought that are internal combustion, and no one cares about those. So, like, like the very few people that buy cool performance cars, which is like 0.5% of the market, yes, they care. The vast unwashed masses of car purchases, nobody cares what they're buying. They, the Accord didn't break for 8 years. Great, give me another one. So it's like this whole like EV buyers care less than a RAV4 buyer. Like I have an EV, my Rivian. I love it. I'm going to keep it until I get another Rivian. So like I don't like the question.
I have an EV daily driver that I plan on replacing with another EV daily driver. So, like, whatever.
I don't like your question.
I don't like you.
Yeah. I don't like your face, sir.
All right, what do we got?
Guys, I love the show.
Thank you.
Really like to hear what you're most excited about coming out on the market.
Ooh.
What car?
Cars.
Sure.
Rolls Royce Spectre. Yeah, that's the EV I'm going to replace my Ford with.
I hope you park a lot of cars.
My payment is going to be $7,800 a month.
Easy.
For 100 months.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm stoked for the 911 ST.
Yeah, I would jump right on the back
one, right?
Of that. Right.
That's the one.
Sure. That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one.
That was my answer.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Got to go along with that. I do like this very limited CSL BMW. I think there's 50 of those. That looks very cool.
Yeah.
Yikes.
That's the plan. We heard our little buddy from New York had already started specking out a car, and we didn't know the allocations handed out yet. So
he's cheating on you.
Always. Do you have any money?
He's cheating.
You want in?
We can take it. We have room for another investor. We have done three before. We have done three, but it goes wrong when one of those three gets divorced. It wasn't us. And then cars had to get sold quickly. So be very careful when you expand past two and check that marriage. It's important. Yes.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
This one goes out to Zuckerman. What's the coolest car that you've seen a Zuckerman head sticker on? We saw one on a GT3 touring on the lawn yesterday at Works.
That's a really good question, and it depends on your definition of cool. Well, but there's a... What do you...
Indie, for sure.
That is for sure, right?
Scott Dixon. Who won this past weekend with it on his helmet.
On his helmet.
In a car, but that's probably the most exciting for us.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
That's $50,000 in brand value right there.
Yeah.
A helmet. They charge big money for that.
He goes on the podium with $50,000.
There are hundreds of... I get hundreds of DMs a week with your face on cars. People really love adding your attitude to vehicles. What is that?
I really don't get it. You have an explanation for it.
I don't. I took the picture. We were sitting at Bill's, and I took the picture of you. You were looking, making the face, and you said, you got to erase that. Don't post it, and I didn't. But then later on, I gave it to Johnny and Dear Zuckerman, and they made it into a sticker, and now look what's happened.
You know what it is, Spike? It's like when you see a baby on board sign, you know, it's sort of a way that you should behave around that car. When you see Zuckerman's face on the car, you go, I will sue you into the poorhouse if you touch this car.
I think it's protective.
The face has a point. He's trying to explain to somebody there is a Yiddish term for a face called a farbissina punim, which means an embittered face. Many of the Jewish ladies from Long Island, where I grew up, made that face.
It was a resting bitch face in Yiddish. It's general
dissatisfaction and contempt for everything. So I was making the face, and he caught the picture of it, and I guess it resonates.
I think it's protective. I think people put it on their cars, like, don't mess with me. Yeah. Or you're going to be messing with Zuckerman.
I see it as disdain, disdain for the world at large. I know Paul really well. So.
Yes, yeah. And there is a certain amount of disdain.
And you are a very sweet guy. Most people don't know that, and they never will.
It's my duality. Yes. Every pancake has two sides.
This is an indication of that statement. I will prove my theory. What are you most excited about going home today, seeing?
Okay, this is a loaded question. He's getting me. I have a new puppy.
A new puppy.
Yeah. I need to get home to see Rufus the girl. So, yeah.
Do we have any more questions before we say goodbye? Yes. What do you have?
Hey, guys. So my question is, with the electric cars and other cars getting in down to the sub 2 seconds, 0 to 60s, do you guys see regulation coming into play?
Nope.
Not in this country.
Under a second.
America.
Do you really think so? I mean, we're under 2 seconds at this point.
Yeah, they're already out. Who's going to regulate that?
I mean, when has speed, pure, not emissions, speed, ever been regulated?
Acceleration.
Acceleration.
Yeah. There are speed limits.
No, yeah, but like there's...
no acceleration.
There's no acceleration limit.
There is a vehicle code in California called display of speed.
Right.
But that's
an electric car is incredibly easy to abuse that
exhibition. And that's a subjective... on the part of a police officer, there's no real objective standard of what that
is.
I would say culturally, look at what people do with guns in this country, and there's no regulation. So, like, no one's going to regulate the 15 cars that can go 0 to 60 in under 2 seconds. No one's going to pass a law about that.
Where does it go? Is it going to
eventually
go?
Zero.
I mean, I drove...
Eventually, we are teleported to 60 miles an hour.
But, yeah, I know. Seriously, are we going to have a sub 1 second 60 speed?
Well, you got tire issues at that point. But I drove that...
What's the McMurtry?
It's got to be 1.4
or something.
But I drove the Pininfarina Batista's 1,900 horsepower.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. I finally that's the right amount of horsepower.
Yeah,
like,
I drove the Rimac, which is the same car. And I did... I ran an 8 second quarter mile in Malibu.
Yeah.
I did it 3 times in a row on the same section of road and no one even noticed.
Is this
in the hinterland?
Which car?
The Rimac.
I did that in the Bugatti too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this wasn't on PCH.
It's so quick.
But no, these electric ones are like, imagine a Chiron that was actually quick. It feels quick. This is like your head hurts. It's so fast.
At a certain point, it becomes physically uncomfortable.
But you laugh for 30 seconds.
And then
you just admit it to crimes. Gentlemen.
Allegedly.
Thank you for coming out. Thank you all of you for buying tickets. There's one last thing.
We're going to take a selfie together for social media because you guys are just as big a part of the show as we are. And then we'll sign. That's James Ferriston, by the way, the Sauron writer. Come on up to the stage. Let's take a picture. And this show posts on Wednesday. And thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.